to go ahead and open this meeting, a regular meeting of the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District Board of Directors. If I could have Mr. Dan Arigi lead us in Pledge of Allegiance.
Our flag is bright in color, brilliant in courage, and firm in faith. To these, let us add our sincere pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The roll call.
All present, with the exception of Director Trevino. He did say he was going to be here this morning, so probably just caught in traffic.
Do you have a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
I'll second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Public comment, anyone wishing to speak? She'll do so now. Seeing no interest, I'll go ahead and close public comment. Move on to the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Do I have a second? I'll go ahead and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Seeing no objections, so ordered. Demands on general fund accounts, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, President Reyes, we have demands of 302, 624, and 30 cents on the general fund.
Do I have a motion to
approve? Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Committee reports are available in our packets in the back.
Mr. Chairman?
No.
Excuse me. The legal committee. Is that the one that's no?
Yeah, legal communications and claims. It's 5:30 Thursday.
Excuse me, no, it's at the end of the meeting. The legislative meeting.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and go to action items, but I'm going to go ahead and skip forward to action item number B first.
Yeah, at the Legal Communications and Claims Committee meeting this past week, committee heard a presentation regarding the San Gabriel Valley Water Forum, and considered that presentation and the information, had a discussion, and made a recommendation to the board that the board authorized Upper District's participation in the Water Supply Forum, so long as it's held prior to Labor Day and held at the Fairflex facilities.
Okay. Director Trevino. Go ahead and recognize Director Trevino. Director, we are at item B, discussion on San Gabriel Valley Water Forum.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
I have questions on this.
Okay, questions.
There's usually a discussion after the motion.
Right.
But the question is, we're one of five agencies that are going to participate. We put a requirement that it's held at a specific location and at a specific date. What's the reaction of the other agencies I don't know if Mr. DePinto is here, who's the one who's consulting. What does that do to the organization of putting this event together?
We haven't heard back from the other agencies yet, and we'll get a response from them and a reaction at the next planning committee meeting after they've heard about this board's action and its preference per this motion to have the event prior to Labor Day and at the Fairflex facility. In the conversations I've heard from the planning committee and in the steering committee, the Fairflex so far is looking like the preferred location.
It's a good location. The timing's fine. I have no objection. I'm just wondering, because of the other agencies, no one put any stipulation of it could only be here, it could only be there, it could only be at this time. I don't know if it's something that we should direct staff to meet with the committee itself that's putting the organization and do the suggestion instead of doing a formal vote. And if they decide not to, what do we do to pull our support of the event? I think it for any agency to do that, I think the force the San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, who actually started this whole thing, did we even check with them?
I believe staff has been working with the planning committee and this was actually one of their options that they brought up.
So. Well, on that same topic, why not have it at the site of one of the five agencies instead of the Fairplex? Is there any reason not to do that?
The reason that the committee recommended was because we want to make sure that there's no public perception that it's being used as a campaign activity in any specific area where there's an active campaign going. So that was one of our main concerns.
And there would be an active campaign at one of the five agencies? Is there one of the five that probably wouldn't have a campaign?
The Fairplex is in Three Valleys, right?
It is in Three Valleys, correct.
Yeah.
And Bob Kuhn is up for re-election over there.
Oh. But they have divisions. Some of us are all up for re-election.
I would feel more comfortable voting for this if there was a recommendation of the organization that's putting it together. I mean, at this point, I'll just abstain until all the other agencies agree with it. But what if another agency doesn't want it in Three Valleys because of someone's election over there? In Azusa, I think the one who's putting it together, they have no elections this year.
That might.
It's a wish of the board. I'm just voicing some concern with other agencies.
Okay, go ahead and call for a roll call vote.
Director Robinson?
I'll abstain for the reasons that we've just noted.
Director Phillips?
Yes.
Abstain.
Director Chris? Yes.
Did you get the
Director Phillips?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Passed 3-2 with Director Chavez and Director Robinson.
3-0-2.
We'll go ahead and go to action item C, discussion regarding WaterFest 2012.
Yeah, the committee, Legal Communications and Claims, also had a discussion about the WaterFest event, asked for the status of the planning of that event. We're still working with City of La Puente's general manager. The next step is to go before the city council in the next few weeks and make sure that we have the city's buy-in on using their facilities there at La Puente. And our consultant is still working on putting together exactly the details of how that would come together at that particular location. We haven't used that location in the past. But the committee did also have a discussion and express a concern about will that facility there in La Puente accommodate the type of crowd that we have historically been drawing for WaterFest? And if not, how do we control and size down that crowd so as to still make it an enjoyable event for everyone? And as a contingency, if La Puente does not work out, we were directed to look into using Santa Fe Dam, which is operated by Parks and Recreation, the same folks that operate Arcadia County Park. So we're going to look into that. We've started that conversation with County Parks, and we'll report back at the next board meeting.
Director, is there any discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to say that Walnut Valley Water District is having one of these on April 28th on Saturday, and they're using their own facility. I don't think it's a part of our mission statement to draw a crowd. There's the ratepayers. This is an event that has certain expenses and staff time to put on. The good side is that this event is starting to rotate. That's good. I'm happy with that. However, in view of the expense and staff time, I'm still going to dissent. We've raised rates recently. This is a discretionary item, and I think it's a discretionary item that could be cut. So I'll vote accordingly.
Directors?
It was discussed extensively, as you know, Mr. Chairman, at that committee. And I like to see, as I agree with Director Robinson, have it, everybody's an opportunity to have this at their respective divisions. I also agree with Director Fellow. His comment that was made at the committee was
never been a problem before. Why is it a problem now to have it in Arcadia? There's no problem for me as far as I'm concerned.
We can have two. We did agree to this as a motion of this board a while back, that every director have an opportunity to have it in their respective divisions. And I guess that motion that was made is no longer, we're no longer pursuing it. I like for us to have two. I like for us to continue with the Arcadia venue. It's a tradition, actually. How many years have we been doing it? 10 years now. And I agree with Director Fellow too. His comment was, it never was a problem. Just because somebody was running in that division, it never was a problem before. Why is it a problem now? And for us to break with a 10-year tradition where we had 5,000 people there, Shane, last time?
Yeah.
I think it's a disservice to our constituents. And yet we can still have two. We can have a smaller one in front of Director Chavez's division. You know, maybe not La Fuente, maybe somewhere else, or maybe it's another director's division. It doesn't matter. But I just think that we're just overreacting a little bit, if you will. That's
well,
my comment.
Just to reply to that, there's been a discussion for years of alternative locations. This isn't just something that's cropped up in the last 3 years. The Arcadia location was where it landed first, and moving it has been under discussion for years. So I don't see that as a necessary tradition.
The other thing, too, if I may, Mr. Chairman, if allow me. Now, Director Fellow has a majority of Arcadia, so it's not like, yes, I am running for re-election, but it's not really in Arcadia now. It's not really in my area. I have a very small portion of Arcadia, but really, so I don't see the issue with that. I would love to have two of them. Continue with the Arcadia venue and have a smaller one at one of the respective other divisions.
Thank you. I'm not advocating to keep it in Arcadia because I've been very fortunate to have it there. One of the reasons we do it in Arcadia is that the supervisor is very good to us and doesn't charge us. Other venues you have to charge. But Mr. Trevino did bring up a point because I remember we were talking about two.
Yes.
I think one was an Earth Day somewhere.
That's right.
So it's in there in the notes somewhere.
Well, I wouldn't have a problem with Arcadia again. I think my issue has been that we rotate that large-scale event, try to find alternative areas and venues to be able to have that. And I know Santa Fe Dam came up. It's possibly a location that could have the event on the same scale and possibly expand it, maybe even include our solar boats, different presentations that we could have there. I know we gave direction last year was to have Waterfest, same scale, and Director Travis's division to find a location that would suit that. And so at this point, I don't know if we've been able to find him. I know the concern has been that we're not giving direction to have such a large-scale event happen. That's tradition. So to me, I personally want to see it rotated. I want to see that event rotated. Again, it's been in Arcadia for 10 years, and I think it's just not fair for the community in our service area to not provide the opportunity to have it.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we have the Waterfest, as tradition calls, in Arcadia, at the Arcadia County Park. The supervisor has been very kind to us in supporting and helping us with that facility. And if there is a second on my motion, I'd like to have a roll call vote on that.
Do we have a second?
Always take advantage of that. So second.
Any discussion?
Tied to it.
Yes. Yes, sir, discussion. I think the Arcadia event has been very successful. It has been a tradition. I still think that we should move it to different locations. If you're going to compare any other location than Arcadia, it's not going to be as perfect. It's not going to be probably as inexpensive as the county, and you're not going to have a big attendance on that event, whether it's in West Covina, Bone Park, Hacienda Heights, or wherever, because it'll be the first annual or first event there, and so people won't expect it. Arcadia keeps getting bigger and bigger because people expect that, and you know, I welcome that. I think it does provide a disservice to the rest of the district, because we're balkanizing our divisions by creating little monarchies in one area and not sharing it with the other. The reason why I have an objection with Arcadia for the division I represent is because when we have a survey of where the constituents come from, they don't come from my area. Again, I praise the staff and the event at Arcadia. It's terrific. It's the best event I've seen from any other water districts, which is a shame that the constituents that live in my division do not get to participate, and yet they're still ratepayers. They pay just as much as anybody else in this district. And so when I would advocate at least bringing a part of it for supplies, whether they're nozzles or something, when the event's in Arcadia, all those people get free nozzles, free head shower heads, and in fact, they come back in line twice or three times and help themselves. When I suggest some of the constituents, the ratepayers in my area, to receive those same things, staff says, well, we're going to charge them $4 each for receiving them.
Are you making an amendment to my motion, Director?
I'm agreeing halfway with you guys. I'm willing to do that. I'm just saying it's unfair. And I said, you know, bring it to La Puente or Hacienda Heights, bring it to Morgan Park, up there in Ball Park, which is, they have events out there, big events out there too, that could accommodate them.
I'll accept your amendment to that.
I don't even know what my
amendment is. Is that where you're going? Because if it is an amendment to my motion, I don't have a problem with it.
But yes, I would support our Katie. I have no problem if the director's up for election or not election. It's been there. I don't want to get into the politics of those games. It's never been political since it's been there anyways. I mean, yeah. No one's wearing campaign badges over there, so I have no problem with that. So I would support that, and just, you know, whether we do a full size, two full size, or a half size and a full size at Arcadia, I have no problem with that. I would love to sit in Ballin Park, quite frankly, too, or even at Santa Fe Dam. You just have to worry about parking. I know we tried to do another event over there, and we had trouble with the parking fees there, which just like doubled the price of the cost of the event. So I'm willing to go with Arcadia. I'm willing to go with La Puente Park, and the next year do Morgan Park and Ball Park. So I guess that's my amendment to your motion.
I just want to be clear on what the motion is. The motion, and I understand it, was the director, made by Director Trevino, seconded by Director Fellow, to hold one large Waterfest event in Arcadia in 2012. Now, there's a discussion about a satellite or a secondary event. I just don't know where the motion sits in relation to that discussion.
I mean, if you want to make it a formal, to do a smaller scale one at another director's division, as an amendment, Director Travis, I would accept your amendment. You know, it's your fault.
Yeah, I would do so, because having it in Ballin Park, West Covina, or wherever, you're not going to have a huge turnout, so I don't think we need to do a full-scale event in those areas. But just to make our presence as a district in those communities where our ratepayers aren't charged for free pencils that people get someplace else, and then they charge a dollar.
Director, if I could just...
The amendment has to be...
Is the motion okay. Accepted by the maker? Is the amendment accepted by the maker of the motion?
Yes, I don't have... Yes, I do.
And as I understand, the amendment is to... not only have the major or the large event in Arcadia, but to have a smaller event in another director's division to be determined.
yes would bump into being next. I mean, that was the direction of it. If not, put in ballpark. I really don't care. I just wanted to make sure that our ratepayers and people in other divisions have parking.
Well, Director, if I could just say, before we continue on that, what if we just go ahead and continue where we're at, continue to pursue the La Puente one, which we haven't had a formal proposal brought back. Go ahead, we have Arcadia as an option, and maybe look at the feasibility of Santa Fe Dam and just get three proposals back, or how could we do that? Because we already had direction to continue looking at La Puente, which was from last year. So,
yeah, it just as a suggestion, it may help inform the board's discussion to have a complete proposal for all three of those locations so you can then mix and match,
Mr. Chairman,
and understand the costs.
I think that given the fact that time is of the essence, you know, we're almost halfway through the year, our consultant needs to line up contributions and donations for the Arcadia event. I'd like to move forward. I'd like to move forward with the Arcadia event, keep this motion as is in terms of just knowing that Arcadia will be an event in Arcadia. I think that should be very clear. While this board is still pursuing a secondary location, is that correct? Is that what I get? I mean, that's the right.
That is the motion. That's the motion.
That's the motion, right?
Okay. Mr. Chairman,
I think there's values that are not being considered here. I think we should tear a page out of Walnut Valley Water District's ideas. They're having an event at the location of their office, and it's not our job to put on community, you know, three ring circus and put on events like this. It verges in my mind of being an inappropriate waste of ratepayers' money. I mean, it could be argued either way, but people that would attend an event, an open house at this office, may at least find out where the office is and become interested in the water issues and attend more of our meetings. I don't know what progress having events in La Puente. Some directors want to have La Puente and Arcadia forever. It's just verges on ignoring our mission statement, what our purpose is, and just putting on community events and wasting ratepayers' money, and including wasting staff time. I mean, our consultant doesn't do everything, and our staff is burdened with helping to organize this as well. So let's simplify and do it the way Walnut Valley Water District is going to do on April 28th. Was it a Friday or a Saturday this month? Okay. I think that that technique furthers the mission better than expanding this program.
Okay. We still need a second for the amendment.
I thought Tony seconded it.
I seconded the original motion.
The original motion, but we need a second.
We need a second on the amended motion.
Second. Where
do you put it? So, just to clarify, the amendment is just up in the air, just looking for alternative locations in general.
But keeping the Arcadia.
Yeah, the Arcadia partner with the second.
But I think, Mr. Chairman, and I just want to make clarification, the intent is to move forward with Arcadia.
Yes.
While we're pursuing a second. Okay.
Okay. I'll go ahead and call. Roll call vote.
Dr. Robinson.
What's his name?
Dr. Fellow.
Yes.
Dr. Chavez.
Yes.
Dr. Trevino.
Yes.
Dr. Rice.
Yes. Okay, we're going to go ahead and... Item 8.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. President, your board has been developing an integrated resources plan for some time now, and as part of that process, as we move towards the conclusion of that with a final board workshop in May, We have been by month having other items of information presented to your board. You recall Mr. Devin Ufadier from Metropolitan Water District presented Metropolitan's Regional Integrated Resources Plan, a key piece. How is Metropolitan asserting that it will be reliable out into the future? Mr. Steve Arakawa came and presented a very detailed, thorough presentation on the Bay Delta and the Bay Delta Conservation Program, a key element within Metropolitan's Integrated Resources Plan. Just last month, you had a very detailed presentation on water quality within the main San Gabriel Basin and how that issue is being addressed and some of the challenges and opportunities there. Today we have with us Mr. Bill Hazenkamp, also from Metropolitan Water District, and Bill is going to give us his perspective on current opportunities and challenges on the Colorado River, the third leg of the stool, if you will, with reliability, regional reliability, from Metropolitan's perspective. So with this presentation, the board will have received a complete view of the imported water system, its plans for the future, as well as an assessment of water quality within the basin. And those are the big risk factors in determining a preferred resource mix for the San Gabriel Valley going forward. So with that, I'll introduce Mr. Hazenkamp. And Bill, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Shane. Pleasure to be here this morning. Quite a nice setup you have here with all these TVs. Someone asked earlier about the stitches on the side of my head, and no, I didn't attend the home game of the Dodger Stadium last week wearing a Giants cap, but I did have some elective surgery. Interesting, though, I had it done on Thursday the 12th, and it was pretty crowded in the surgery room. And I said, why is it so crowded? It was late for my appointment. And they said, because people don't want to have elective surgeries on Friday the 13th, so they schedule them early on the 12th. So superstition, not a good day to get things done. So the Colorado River, it's a pretty exciting time to work on the river. Let's see if I can get this to work. I'm supposed to point it somewhere.
Can you get it to there?
Okay, you can... All right. Overview of the presentation today, talk about the decade of change that we've had during the first decade of this millennium. The QSA, the good, the bad, and the ugly part one of that agreement, the Lower Colorado River Multi-Species Conservation Plan, and the new tools that were developed, the ICS program. And then talk about what our current challenges are in the river, outreach across the border to Mexico, the QSA, the good, the bad, and the ugly part two, and over-allocation, are we asking for too much? So, overview of where the Colorado River fits in. Of course, there are three imported supplies to the Southern California region, as well as a significant local production of water. Los Angeles Aqueduct provides about 500,000 acre-feet when it was at its capacity. Contract for 2 million acre-feet from Northern California, and 1.25 million acre-feet from the Colorado River. Now, each of these imported supplies have been cut back in the last few decades. Los Angeles Aqueduct used to provide 500,000 acre-feet, essentially all the needs of the city of Los Angeles, but because of requirements to restore Mono Lake and refill Mono Lake and other environmental restrictions in the Owens Valley, today they only get about half of the water that they used to get from the Los Angeles Aqueduct. State Water Project, Metropolitan has a contract for 2 million acre-feet, but the State Water Project was never finished as originally envisioned. The original version was to tap into those very wet rivers in northwest California, the Eel River and the Trinity River, but the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act took those rivers off of development permanently, and so now on average, up until recently, on average, the State Project supplied about 1.5 million acre-feet. And then you heard from Steve Arakawa more recently, because of fish population declines, that's been reduced further to an average of about 1.2 million acre-foot on the State Water Project.
Well, when will the bonds on that project be paid off? About 30 years?
2035 is when the schedules for the State Water Project to be paid off.
2035?
Yes. But the Colorado River Aqueduct has been the backbone of Southern California. It has provided a full supply for the first 50 years that we were diverting water, and it made Southern California more drought-proof than Northern California during 1977, when Northern California had significant restrictions, Southern California was not nearly as short. A little bit about the Colorado River Basin. It provides water to seven states and and the country of Mexico. It provides water to all the major urban areas in those states, five NBA teams, five baseball teams, and only three NFL teams. But I think that might change in the near future. It's one of the most used, or some say abused, rivers in the United States, in that the flow of the river almost never reaches the ocean. It's all either used by the seven states or stored in its big reservoirs. And it does have big reservoirs. Lake Mead is the largest reservoir in the United States. When it's full, it's capable of holding about 13 years of Metropolitan's total water demand. And then just upstream, Lake Powell is nearly as big. Those two reservoirs combined can store 50 million acre feet of water. And then further upstream, there's what they consider in the Colorado small reservoirs. Flaming Gorge Reservoir on the Utah-Wyoming border isn't even mentioned on the Colorado River, but it has more storage capacity than Lake Oroville, the largest reservoir in the State Water Project. So significant storage on the Colorado, 60 million acre feet total, that can hold 4 years of average flow. Now, the Colorado is, in addition to being one of the most dammed rivers in the United States, is also one of the most litigated. It was thought at one point, when they divided up the rivers, that there was 16.5 million acre feet of total water supply from the Colorado River. So they decided they would split it half to the upper basin, 7.5 million acre feet to the upper basin states, shown in yellow, 7.5 to the lower basin in green, and then 1.5 million was provided to Mexico. And so here are the actual state apportionments. And the apportionments in the lower basin, Nevada got a tiny share of that 7.5 million acre feet. And that was because at the time they divided up the river, it was based on agricultural use. And Nevada had no agricultural use, and no one could possibly thought that people would actually want to move to Nevada. So they thought 300,000 was plenty. Within California, then, the major water users of the 4.4 are Imperial Irrigation District, which is the largest water district in the nation, Coachella Valley Water District, Palo Verde Irrigation District, and Metropolitan. In 1931, we decided how we would divide up the 4.4 million acre feet of California's apportionment. And under that agreement, the first 85%, or I think that's even 88% of water within the 4.4, was allocated to agriculture, those big water agricultural users along the river. And then Metropolitan came after lower priority. So if California was ever reduced to 4.4 million acre feet, Metropolitan would only receive 550,000 acre feet. But as I said, we had received 1.25 million acre feet virtually every year. And that's because there was also a provision in the law of the river that says if the other states aren't using all of their water, it can be made available to California. And this is a snapshot of the 1990s. But it's representative of decades before that. And even during the 1990s, Arizona wasn't using all of their water, Nevada wasn't, and in fact, no state was using all of the water available to it. So California benefited by taking an extra 700,000 or 800,000 acre feet of water each and every year, which enabled Metropolitan to top off its aqueduct above the 4.4. Mexico also benefited. They were getting about 1 million acre feet of additional flow into Mexico. So California and Mexico had been benefiting for decades with additional water. But as we approached the year 2000, we knew things were changing quickly. Clark County, where Las Vegas is. Yes,
question, Bill. I mean, Mexico deliveries, did those surplus deliveries accrue as a credit or just surplus deliveries?
Did you get a credit? No credit, because the reservoirs were full. I mean, these are big reservoirs, but they were all full because the demands just weren't that high. So even we were forced to release water to Mexico. We had no choice to store it. So some years they had 5, 6, 7 million acre feet during really wet years. So Clark County, where Las Vegas is, was the fastest growing county in the nation for many years during the late 90s. The Phoenix area started to grow rapidly. I'm not sure why anyone would want to choose to live in Phoenix, but it's another fast-growing area. And so in the year 2000, Nevada and Arizona began using all of their water. So California was going to have to, for the first time, cut back its supply it had grown used to using for more than 50 years. So California came together with a plan in the mid-1990s that says, okay, we'll have a simple plan. We'll call it the QSA, which stands for Quantification Settlement Agreement, which is really a bad name for the agreement because the agreement is a sweeping agreement that it really should be called California's Colorado River Water Management Water Sharing Agreement because it's much more than what the title assumes. But the goals of this California plan and QSA were very simple. One, keep Metropolitan's Colorado River Aqueduct full into the future. And two, to continue the historic levels of irrigation in the Imperial and Coachella Valleys. So quite noble goals from the plan. Easy to sign off because essentially everyone gets what they want in this plan. And the plan, the way the agreement got its name, the quantification piece, was in order to do any water transfers from IID or Coachella, you first had to give them each their own water cap because under the original 1931 agreement, the agriculture was all lumped together. So the quantification part separated out IID and Coachella and gave MWDs. We still had our last priority, but at least we divided up the priorities above MWD share. And the original vision of the QSA was, one, we will quantify the Coachella's and IID's rights. Two, we'll implement agricultural conservation areas within Imperial Irrigation District. That would be done by lining the All-American and Coachella Canal, two big canals that were running through sand in the desert and leaking about 100,000 acre feet of water per year, and then funding efficiency programs in IID so they could grow the same crops with less water. And San Diego County Water Authority wanted their own transfer, so they stepped into the shoes of funding that system efficiency program with IID. So the water then would be transferred to both Metropolitan and a portion to San Diego County. And to help keep Metropolitan's water supplies up, it also provided a term where there would be special surplus water provided to Metropolitan to keep our aqueduct full for 16 years. And that was as long as you are implementing your water transfers and your programs, if San Diego County does what they say they're going to do, and if Metropolitan does what it says they're going to do by funding these programs, we will give you water to keep your aqueduct full. And when in 2003, when we were analyzing the QSA, many people said, you're going to get 6 million acre feet of the special surplus water. So you should be participating in some of the mitigation programs. You should be willing to spend money, Metropolitan. And we said, well, wait a minute. It's not a done deal. And they said, well, you're going to get 6 million acre feet, so just approve it and move forward. So the QSA was ultimately signed in October of 2003 after many years of negotiations, but there were two problems in meeting the goals of the original QSA, and this is what I call QSA the bad. The first is that it didn't contemplate we would have a record drought on the Colorado River, and as big as Lake Mead was, apparently it wasn't big enough to withstand the drought that came during the last decade. Lake Mead was essentially full in the year 2000, nearly 25 million acre feet of storage, and for the past 40 years before the year 2000, Lake Mead was above, had plenty of storage. But there was a provision that said you will get surplus, Metropolitan, as long as Lake Mead is more than two-thirds full, which is shown here about the 16 million acre foot mark. And that didn't seem like much of a risk, because as I said, for more than 40 years, we were above that level. But we hit the driest years ever on the Colorado, and as quickly as the stock market fell in 2007-2008, the Lake Mead dropped, and it dropped below that surplus level at the same time we ended up signing the QSA. So the amount of surplus water we got was not 6 million acre feet, but 0 acre feet. No surplus from the Colorado River at all. And in fact, Lake Mead kept dropping, and we got close to a first ever shortage declaration, which would result in additional cutbacks from the Colorado River, first to Nevada and Arizona, and then potentially more cutbacks within California. So what we were trying to avoid so much in Southern California was to avoid the crash that actually occurred on January 1st, 2003. In 2002, MWD had a full supply of 1.25 million acre foot available to it, as it did every year before 2002. Our initial approval in 2003 was only 513,000 acre feet, more than a 700,000 acre foot reduction in Colorado River water, and essentially a permanent reduction in supply. But that reduction didn't make the front page of the New York Times, or even the LA Times. In fact, most people didn't notice that we lost 60% of our Colorado River water, and that's because we were both lucky and good. We were lucky in that 2003 was a wet year in Northern California, and we had a full supply from Northern California, I think a 90% allocation that year. And we were also good in the, and we had just filled Diamond Valley Lake for the first time at the end of 2002. So we had full local supplies to get us through those first tough years when we lost our Colorado. We had to radically change our operations. Our system was built to bring in a lot of Colorado River water and then supplement it with the state. We had to figure out how now we're going to bring in a lot of water from Northern California and not much from the Colorado. We had to change our treatment plant operations to treat this organic water that we weren't used to having such high blends from Northern California. So we had to invest a lot of money and figure out how to adapt to this new reality, but we were able to do that. The second issue with the QSA that became problematic is that it was changed to accommodate Salton Sea. Now, Salton Sea was formed in 1905 when the Colorado River flowed out of an irrigation ditch and for 2 years flowed into the formerly dry Salton Sink. Salton Sink is below sea level, and it had been just a dry desert, but the river flowed into it for 2 years and formed California's largest lake. And that lake has been sustained by agricultural drainage from IID for the last 100 years, or more than 100 years. Now, initially, that lake was about as salty as the Pacific Ocean, and so it was stocked with ocean fish and became a prized trophy fishery, if you're into that sort of thing. People came from all over to fish the Salton Sea and recreate. During the heydays of the 1950s and 60s. However, the problem with the Salton Sea is that there is no natural outlet. The only outlet is through evaporation, and it does evaporate. 1.3 million acre feet a year it evaporates of fresh water, and water that has a little bit of salt flows into it every year, so that the salinity increases each year by about 1% a year. And it's currently about 25% saltier than the Pacific Ocean. And many of the fish have died. The corbina that used to be there have died. In fact, there's only one species that is left, tilapia, and it's questionable how much longer that fish will be there. And part of the value of the environmental community, of the Salton Sea to the environmental community, is that it was a key stop for birds, migratory birds and brown pelican that used to habitate the Pacific Coast, San Diego County area and Orange County. When they developed those coastlines, the habitat went away. So a lot of those birds went to the Salton Sea and then started to thrive there based on the fishery. And they would eat the fish there. The concern is that if the fish go away, the birds will also go away. So the QSA was had to be take the Salton Sea into account, because if you transfer water from IID to San Diego County, you reduce the inflow to the Salton Sea and you make the sea get saltier even faster than it already would have been. And so a couple things happened. One is Imperial Irrigation District was required to fallow land to meet the San Diego transfer for 15 years. And by fallowing land, then you can mitigate the impact of the Salton Sea by fallowing more land than you need for the transfer to San Diego. And some of that savings then you dump directly fresh water into the Salton Sea. So you can keep essentially the sea not impacted by transferring water to San Diego. But it does require fallowing, which is an F word in Imperial County. Additionally, the state stepped in, and there was concern about what the ultimate cost of mitigating this Salton Sea might be. Is it going to be a dust bowl like Owens Lake, where the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power has spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to control dust from Owens Lake, and still they're in violation? Is the Salton Sea going to be like that? In 2003, there was a lot of concern by San Diego County Imperial Irrigation District and Coachella about what potential costs there might be. So State of California came to the rescue and said, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And we said we will do two things. One is we will agree to cover any increase in mitigation costs above what IID Coachella and San Diego had already agreed to pay. And they agreed to pay $133 million. State said we'll cover any increase in costs. And two, we'll go one step beyond that and we will agree to restore the Salton Sea and keep it as a fishery well into the future. So, great State of California, noble goals. So we, as we said, we signed the QSA and moved forward. Now, one of the things about IID having to fallow, it made that transfer very unpopular in the community. Indeed, their board members tend to vote 3-2 in favor of it whenever a QSA issue comes up. And many farmers, in fact, farmers sued IID over the QSA, as well as the local community is unpopular. Yet we have a similar fallowing arrangement with Palo Verde Irrigation District, and wanted to contrast the two of why one is so popular and accepted in the community, and the other is so unpopular. And both of these two transfers involve land fallowing, and they both reduce California's dependence on Colorado River water. They're both long-term transfers, the Palo Verde Irrigation Transfer through 2040, IID through 2047, and may be renewed for an additional 30 years. They provide similar water supply benefits. Palo Verde provides between 30 and 120,000 acre feet a year, depending on Metropolitan's call. IID provides water to San Diego, ramping up from 10,000 initially to eventually 200,000 acre feet. This year, I think it's about 90,000 acre feet. But as I said, the transfers are viewed quite differently between the two communities. Now, I think the transfers are different because of the way they're set up. The way we negotiated with PVID is completely different from the way San Diego negotiated with IID. We negotiated directly with the farmers, shrewd businessmen. They know what they want. They represent their interests, and we struck a deal with the farmers as a whole. San Diego negotiated with elected officials and IID's board, which didn't necessarily take what the farmers' needs into account. We made our payments directly to the farmers. San Diego makes their payments to the irrigation district. In our transfer, the farmers get nearly all of the proceeds, with a small amount going to the irrigation district to cover their marginal costs. They did have to hire additional staff, and they did have to upgrade with new equipment. So we covered that, but by far, most of our money goes directly to the farmers. With San Diego IID, the IID gets most of the money, and the farmers compete for funding. And they get much less. Most of the water stays with the Imperial Irrigation District. For example, this year, San Diego is paying IID $500 an acre foot for the water transfer, but the farmers are only getting between $100 and $125 an acre foot of that money. Under our deal, the farmers agreed to a long-term program. Under IID, the farmers participate 1 year at a time. It was viewed that they didn't want to have certain farmers benefiting more than others, so it's rotated around so the farmers don't have certainty. And then the last thing is both programs provided money to offset any third-party impacts associated with the transfer. With our transfer, we formed a volunteer board by local people in the community, someone from the community college, someone from retired people, and we stay out of how, and PVID stays out of how they spend that $6 million. So far, they're spending it on job retraining and other programs. In IID San Diego, the funds managed by the irrigation district, and they decide where the money is spent. So, interesting contrast between how two transfers are set up and and the popularity view between the two. The other thing that happened in the last decade was the Lower Colorado River Multi-Species Conservation Plan, which is a partnership between the three Lower Basin states and the Bureau of Reclamation to provide covered species for coverage for ongoing and future water and power operations. Yes, we have endangered species on the Colorado River, but no, we don't have the same risks we do in the Bay Delta. We have 50 years of coverage, and essentially because we're out front and helping to stay, provide habitat for the species, there's an agreement that our pumps won't be shut down. So we're it's a good insurance policy, and we won't face the same risk we face in Northern California. So with the assurance that we can pump our water without restrictions, and with the QSA as a background, we developed a number of programs to help refill our aqueduct over the last 10 years. We have storage programs with Desert Water Agency and Coachella Valley Water District. We have both San Diego and MWD have programs with IED for conservation. The All-American and Coachella Canal projects have been lined. That provides 100,000 acre feet to San Diego and MWD both. Yuma Desalter and Drop 2 have been funded. Palo Verde Irrigation District. We had a storage program with Arizona and an exchange program with Southern Nevada Water Authority. When Nevada has extra water, we can borrow it from them with an agreement to pay them back in a future year. So we have a great partnership in the Lower Basin. And as a result of implementing all of these programs over the last decade, we've been able to refill our aqueduct for the first time last year. 2001 and 2002 were the last 2 years we had surplus. The good thing about surplus is it was free. We had a full aqueduct and almost free. 25 cents an acre foot was our cost to the Bureau of Reclamation. So the good news is we refilled it with programs. The bad news is those programs came at a cost. So now we're reliable but much more expensive, which is one of the reasons why our board authorized a rate increase last week to help pay for these extra programs to help refill our aqueduct. At the same time that we were refilling our aqueduct, our demand in our service area dropped significantly. In fact, it's down about 30% from 2007, down for a number of reasons. The economy has been down. We had a water allocation plan in place and an aggressive conservation message out to the public, and people responded to that. So with our supplies being up and our demands down in the last couple years, a new tool has come to be very valuable to us on the Colorado River, and it's another one of those strange words called ICS, which stands for Intentionally Created Surplus. What it should say is a lake mead storage program. Is that in 2007, we got the right for the first time ever to store water in Lake Mead at no cost. In fact, we can store up to 1.5 million acre feet in water in Lake Mead at no cost. Compared to building an expensive reservoir like Diamond Valley Lake, which is maybe $2 billion, we got this storage for free. And during the last few years, not only did we fill Diamond Valley Lake, and not only did we offer replenishment water last year, but we still were able to add water, and we currently have 400,000 acre feet stored in Lake Mead.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add that I think the San Gabriel Valley would perhaps offer to store that water if it came from Lake Silverwood for free. I just think it's contrary to good policy to store water in Lake Mead when Met's mission and our mission, we need to store water in Southern California during good times. So when the droughts hit, we're pumping off of our groundwater basins instead of using water that is shortage. That policy of storing water for free in Lake Mead should be reversed, and we should concentrate on storing water in the aquifers in Southern California.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I agree with Director Trevino there.
Director Trevino's got the right idea.
All right.
Certainly. Well.
Yeah, anyway, the discussion is very interesting, but I have to be on my way. I have an appointment.
Okay.
But I appreciate it. Thank you for coming.
Certainly. So now in 2012, we're in pretty good shape in the Colorado. We have programs where we can refill our aqueduct. We have water stored in Lake Mead. Whether it's popular or not, it's still a very cost-effective storage program. So in 2012, we're in good shape. But there are three major issues that I want to touch on briefly as we move forward. Three major goals. The first is discussions with the country of Mexico. The 2007 ICS, or Lake Mead Storage Program, was not available to Mexico. It was strictly a United States decision. But Mexico said they are interested in participating in programs like the United States have. And in 2009, we began negotiations. There was a major earthquake in Mexicali Valley in April of 2010, which hastened negotiations because they had damage to about a third of their infrastructure. And they needed a place to quickly store water, otherwise they would lose it. So we quickly entered into a temporary agreement where they could store water in Lake Mead during this earthquake, during this earthquake repair period, so they could refill their, or not lose any water. But that's just a short-term measure. We're looking at a longer-term agreement with Mexico. And indeed, the Bureau of Reclamation commissioner said that he has two top priorities in this administration. One is getting a fix to the Bay Delta approved, and two is getting agreement with the country of Mexico. So it's very important in Washington to see to get this agreement done. And essentially the agreement would be, the current schedule is to have something done by September. We had been looking at getting something done in May or June. It's been pushed back to the end of summer, but still within this administration. Where Mexico could store water in Lake Mead, they would agree to surplus and shortage. The treaty says they will take surplus and shortage, but it doesn't have the criteria. So we would agree on criteria of when they would get surplus and storage. And more importantly for us, it involves a pilot water exchange program where Mexico would store water in Lake Mead and then sell that to users in the United States as ICS water to help fund their infrastructure repair in Mexico. And so the Metropolitan and other agencies have said they would be interested in such a partnership. We'll see if that goes forward. The other unique piece to that is for the first time there would be a water for the environment component to that project. I mentioned earlier that the Colorado River never flows to the ocean anymore, and the former Colorado River Delta was a tremendous wildlife estuary. Now it's a shadow of its former self, and there's been a lot of interest in trying to get the Colorado River Delta restored. But nobody has water to give. We're already water short. So under this arrangement, any water that would be bought from Mexico, there would be a 20% environmental tax applied to that water. So 20% would stay in Lake Mead strictly for environmental purposes, and a group of environmentalists in both the United States and Mexico would form a plan of how to use that water. Also, of course, there's a potential for many more future projects between the two countries. So we are working hard to get an agreement done in the next few months. It's a challenge because of the bureaucratic nature of dealing with two countries, the State Department instead of the Interior Department, but we're optimistic that we'll have something in the next few months. Second issue was the QSA, the ugly. Talked about the state stepping in 10 years ago to save the day. Fast forward to 2012, and the state has done nothing to help restore the salt sea. What they have done is developed an EIR to analyze different options, and their EIR came up with a $9 billion preferred alternative with $100 million annual O&M costs. No one has money to spend on restoring the Salton Sea, so that EIR sits on a shelf and the state does nothing. Recently, there were some court challenges about whether the state even has the authority to pay for, to backstop the IID San Diego transfer to pay for any increased costs associated with dust mitigation or whatever else there might be. Last month, the Supreme Court in California, or the appellate court in California, overruled the lower court and said, yes, in fact, the state does have the financial responsibility. And that, so the state won that court, but it was probably a bittersweet win for them because they still don't know how they're going to come up with the amount of money that we're talking about to do things down here. So because of the fear of state financial responsibility and commitments, the water agencies have started to take matters into their own hands. In 2010, there was a dispute between IID and MWD over water deliveries to the Salton Sea. I said earlier that IID was required to fallow land to generate water to put in the Salton Sea as part of the QSA. But in 2010, to save money, IID said we're going to put water that was otherwise unused in the Salton Sea, water that would normally come to Metropolitan under the priority system. So instead of having that water come to Metropolitan, IID says we're going to change the rules and we're going to put the water directly into the sea to save money. Well, of course, we objected, and many other agencies weighed in, and what the Bureau of Reclamation did is set that decision aside on hold and said, well, let's try to work with the big issues of the Salton Sea before we have to make a ruling, because we know when we make a ruling, there will be lawsuits flying. So that dispute is still lingering about whether IID can put non-conserved water in the Salton Sea. Then last fall, IID in San Diego went to the state board to petition to get out of fallowing 4 years early. They said, the state, let's face it, the state's not going to do anything. We gave the state 15 years to come up with a plan. It's been 10 years. They've done nothing. Why do we continue to have to fallow extra land to put water in the Salton Sea? It doesn't make sense. So they went to the state board to change their requirement, again, to save money, because they're afraid the state doesn't have the money. Well, right on their heels, Coachella and MWD protested their proposed petition. Coachella said they're not ready to give up on the Salton Sea, or, quote, to throw the Salton Sea under the bus, unquote. They still think there's a chance that something can be done at the Salton Sea, and they are opposed to having the sea shrink earlier than otherwise would happen. We protested not because we're against examining alternatives for the Salton Sea, but because we want to make sure we have a seat at the table in case additional non-conserved water that would otherwise come to Met is proposed to put into the Salton Sea. So we have a proverbial mess right now with our California water sharing agreement. The courts kept it together, but the four agencies are in disagreement about how to move forward, and the state is still not engaging in the discussions. So this could be a train wreck in the near future, or maybe we can work out and find some solution. But it's certainly one of the challenges on the Colorado River. And the last issue is, are we in a drought now or not? This is a graph of the Colorado Basin in the Northern Rockies. This is near Rocky Mountain National Park. An average year, this green line shows last year. Last year was actually the snowiest year on record for Northern Colorado. It kept snowing into April and May and didn't peak until June, and it was an extremely productive year on the Colorado River, and we thought, man, things are going great. This year, however, driest year ever on the Colorado. Quite a turnaround. It's almost an exact opposite of last year. It's like the Cleveland Cavaliers before LeBron James and after LeBron James. It's been a warm year. It's a terrible year skiing. I had the misfortune of going skiing last month, slushing more like it. So where does that leave us? Well, this is a 10-year graph of Lake Mead. Earlier, I just cut it off in 2010. Last year was a tremendous year. Lake Mead went up 58 feet because of that wet snowpack. And we started getting back towards that surplus line. And 6 months ago, I thought we might actually get back to getting some surplus, that we're finally getting some surplus. However, this year, now with it being so dry, the projection is Lake Mead will drop about 20 feet this year. So it looks like we're going to end up halfway between shortage and surplus. And that big reservoir, which has about 26 million acre-feet, will end the year about half full or half empty, depending on your perspective. So We'll have to wait and see where next year goes. I guess that will determine about whether we're in drought or not. But whether we're currently in a drought or not, there's been a lot of questions about the long-term ability of the Colorado River to supply water. The graph there shows that the demands have continued to increase, and in recent years, it has surpassed the supply, and only through storage have we been able to meet needs. But it's well believed that the Colorado will continue to grow. It's got 30 million people in it today. People like living in the western United States, so it will continue to grow most likely. Also, the studies have shown that if climate change is going to affect anywhere in the United States, most likely it's going to be the Colorado River. Some scientists say the future flows will be 10 or 20% less than they've been in the past. So, indeed, Scripps came out with a study saying Lake Mead will be dry in 10 years, and other agencies have said that we're on a train wreck on the Colorado. Well, the states and the reclamation have gotten together to try to stay ahead of that and do their own long-term planning or their own IRP type of planning for the Colorado River, looking out 50 years. It's a two-year, $2 million study, which is going to be wrapping up this July. And what they're looking at in the study is first evaluating the possible climate change impacts to the water supply, looking at the increase in demand, and then saying, okay, what options and strategies might there be to meet those long-term needs? What can we do as states? And we solicited public input, and we got about 115 options submitted by the public, all kinds of options, from cloud seeding in the mountains to increase snowfall, to building to tankers from the Gulf of Alaska to provide water to Metropolitan, to building a pipeline from the Mississippi River to the Colorado Basin, or building a desalination plant in Mexico to help reduce demands. So all of these options will be considered based on cost, environmental impacts, implementability, and a suite of recommendations will come forward out of that study. So you'll see that July, maybe August of this year. And based on that, then the states can figure out if they want to make some investments now into the future to help offset this this potential reduction in supply down the road. So, in summary, I guess the summary is, for the Colorado is that we have adapted to living without surplus from the Colorado River. 10 years ago, we thought we had a plan that would help keep us with full aqueduct in the future. Of course, that didn't happen, and we had to quickly implement programs to replace that lost supply. And we're also looking at expanding that across the border, and we may have even more options going forward next year. At the same time, not just on the Colorado, but overall, Metropolitan today has the most water stored in all of its reservoirs, groundwater and surface, that it's ever had in its history. So we're in pretty good shape supply-wise now going forward, but there are two pressing issues that are more longer-term issues, and of course one is the result of the Salton Sea and our seemingly never-ending dispute among our four partners on the Colorado River, and then addressing the long-term potential shortfalls with new options and strategies. And that concludes my presentation.
Any questions?
Just a statement. The Salton Sea should be put to rest. You know, the state's been wanting Met to pay for it all these years, and Congressman Brown, we couldn't go to Washington unless he wouldn't talk to us unless we had could solve the problem there, but it's over.
But I think what Mr. Hazenkamp has said is that basically the summary is that 10 to 20% reduction on the flow of the Colorado River, as climatologists have said, probably will be the norm on the Colorado River. And I think that basically that underscores the unpredictability of the Colorado River to provide an assured supply for Southern California. And it underscores, I think, what we need to do here, which is increase our program on recycled water, groundwater storage, stormwater capture, and other things, even storing water here, as Mr. Robinson stated, in our basin. You know, why is Met storing water somewhere else out of the state when we have a huge basin here, that water could be stored here. And it has been declared that the basin is not, that we don't have a contamination problem with the basin, as water quality has stated to us in previous presentations. So I think Mr. Chairman, our general manager, should pursue that with Metropolitan and say, let's look at storing some water here. Because we can no longer depend on the Colorado River. It's obvious. And certainly the State Water Project has never been that reliable. We've never got full allotment from the State Water Project. So we need to really pursue our recycled water plant along with other plants. So that's just a great presentation.
Great. Thank you. It's just an information item, no action. Thank you very much for the presentation. Anyone wishing to remove anything from the consent calendar?
Motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
See no objection, so ordered. Information items. Information items are available in our packets from the back. Attorney's report.
Just an update on the San Diego case. There's two tracks. On the litigation track, there was a case management conference that was supposed to be scheduled last week. It has been continued until May 10th. San Diego has filed an amended writ, which the responding parties will respond to. On the discovery front, the parties have agreed to a discovery referee. We received briefings from each of the parties last Friday, April 13, and the parties were awaiting a hearing with the discovery referee once that referee has reviewed those pleadings. But it's moving forward, but at a slower pace with a lot of moving parts.
Any questions for our attorney? Seeing none, moving on to our engineer's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Ballpark Keywell, as of April 13th, was at 227.4 as a result of the sort of the late season rain we got. It did slow down a little bit. It only dropped about 0.4 of a week the prior week, so we got a little bit of a reprieve. We also put a little water in storage. I had been reporting that our total storage in the canyon was down around 20,000 acre feet. We're now up to almost 22,000 acre feet. We're about 26% of normal, which is unusual for this time of year. We're usually at minimum pool. We stay there through the summer, so we got a little bit of runoff. Some interesting numbers. I normally report inflow into San Gabriel, and I'm just going to report sort of a progression curve on that storm that we had, a couple of storms that we had. Inflow into San Gabriel at the beginning of March was down to about 35 CFS, that's inflow into San Gabriel. As a result of the storm, by the 19th, it increased to 97 CFS coming in. By the 26th, it increased to 150 CFS coming in from San Gabriel. Then as the storms passed on the 2nd of April, it dropped back down to 80 CFS, and most recently it's down to about 60 again. So you can watch the curve as a large beam into the reservoir, and it's kind of interesting. Some good information. We did some sample. USG3 is obviously off. Rainfall is down to about 54% of normal. Even as a result of the rainfall we got, we're still, it's obviously a dry year. We sampled the wells under the Title 22 program during March. 29 wells were sampled during February 2012, 63 wells were sampled. And just a point of interest, this is your general manager's creation. It's in the back of the room. This is the storage in the basin. Basically what it shows, we've done this before, but it shows storage in the basin over the management level of 200 feet in the basin, 200 feet elevation. But as you can see, it's dropping. Water in cyclic storage has stayed the same. We haven't taken any water out of cyclic storage. But you see, as it's dropping, what we're doing is we're losing water out of basin storage, which is, I think, what Shane wanted to demonstrate. And as we add months to this, it really is showing exactly what's going on. As the basin drops down, we're taking water right out of storage. So, interesting charts in the back for your general manager. That's all I have.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Seeing none, general manager's report.
Yeah, just a brief note. I'd like to thank staff, acknowledge Peter Rodriguez and Laura Laramendi and Ruben and Ruby. Together, they put together a fantastic event for us this past Friday at Big League Dreams for the West Covina Commissioning. I thought that came off pretty well.
Okay. Director's comments? Director Feller?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, we have a legislative meeting on Thursday, and I have a COG meeting, so I wish we could get not offer that meeting the same time as the COG. I represent this board at the COG meeting.
Director Travis?
A comment. What days do you, Director Phillips? Are good?
Next week?
Next week, yeah.
The 26th?
Yeah.
We could accommodate that. No problem.
Thank you.
I'd just like to, again, congratulate staff and thank them for the great job they did on Friday's event. Although it was raining, we had a great turnout and a lot of great dignitaries. I'd also like to close on behalf of Fidel Vargas Sr., who passed this past couple days. Longtime resident of Baldwin Park, long family dynasty in Baldwin Park, longtime activist. I'd like to close on his behalf. And that concludes my comments. Any future agenda items? Okay, seeing none.